We're at the winter meetings, John. Go.
Everybody's ripping these winter meetings because not a ton has happened yet. But look, we're talking about big names. We're talking about Soto. We're talking about Ohtani, Yamamoto. I mean, these are big stars. Yamamoto may get 300 million. Ohtani should certainly get 500 million plus. We'll see if he hits 600 million. Maybe that's a bit of a reach, but obviously Juan Soto, a historically good offensive player. So I think there's a lot of positive stuff to talk about, even though not a ton has happened to this point.
John, you buried the lead. The Yankees got Alex Verdugo. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Soto. We'll talk about Yamamoto. And of course, we'll talk about Ohtani and all the things you can and can't say about him if you stick with us on the show with Joel Sherman and John Hayne.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
John, we're both at the winter meetings. It got heated a little bit yesterday, very little, right? Two big things happened. Dave Roberts opened his mouth, and the Yankees traded for Alex Verdugo. Why don't we start there, John? Yankees traded for Alex Verdugo. We were both told last night that does not preclude them from the big position player acquisition they want to make, which is to find a way to trade for Juan Soto. And I think you and I both have an inclination that the Yankees are kind of like too public with their desire, talking about the player, that they won't get to the finish line. So we probably, because it's a moving target, it's Wednesday morning, the last full day of the winter meetings. Who knows what will happen in the next few hours? What do you think about the issue right now?
Well, I do think there's a pretty good chance that they do end up with Juan Soto. No guarantees, of course. We haven't heard a lot about the other teams. Hey, Toronto was, you know, obviously in the Ohtani mix, right? So, you know, I'm not sure they can make a move for Soto at this moment, but it does feel like the Yankees are talking to the Padres. And, you know, obviously, you know, I wrote early on that the Yankees shouldn't give up all their big prospects for Soto, but I think there's probably a good deal to be made, and they obviously need offense. We know they're not getting Ohtani at this point. Soto's obviously the guy out there, and they do seem to have a match with San Diego.
Yeah, look, a lot of the reporting, yours, mine, built around it was San Diego was pretty insistent that Michael King and Drew Thorpe are both in the trade. The Yankees were pretty insistent that neither would be in the trade, which means that one likely will be in the trade, and that's how it will get done. If I were a betting man, again, this could look bad in a couple of hours, just because Michael King is 2 years from free agency. He's had some injury problems. But he also, for San Diego, offers the appeal of someone who could pitch towards the top of a rotation, as we saw late last season, if healthy and right. I think he ends up being the key to a deal that maybe the Yankees could pare down elsewhere because they put King in it.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. You know, San Diego needs to replenish their pitching staff. They've right now lost five pitchers, including the Cy Young winner, Blake Snell. Closer, Hader. Obviously, the Yankees aren't going to make up for Blake Snell and Hader. And all those guys, they lost Juan Martinez. I mean, it's a long list right now. San Diego's got a lot of work to do, but Michael King looked great at the end of last year. He's very popular right now. The value is high on him. He had converted from reliever to starter. He looks like he can do it. And to me, that's the guy. If you put him in there, I think you can probably keep Thorpe out of there. That seems like the compromise. Might go the other way. We shall see. But I can live with that. I didn't like the idea of trading all your top prospects, you know, which is what San Diego did to get him in the first place. We've only got a year to go. He's going to make $32 million. I mean, that limits the value to some degree. He is one of the best five hitters in the game, and the Yankees obviously do need him, and San Diego appears to need to move on at this point.
You know, let's be fair to the Yankees. They got beat up on a lot of things, including their player procurement amateur, but they do seem to have the one thing that is important here for San Diego. They have a lot of pitchers from the double A to controllable in the major leagues that have some upside that everyone thinks will pitch in the majors. And John, you framed the issue so well. The Padres don't need one guy. The Padres don't need two guys. I mean, they need multiple starting pitchers. They need multiple relievers because their plan, even once to trading Soto, is to try to win. I think they love the Korean outfielder Lee as a replacement kind of guy for, so obviously, as a outfielder who would play in the outfield. No one's replacing Soto's bat, but because they have Bogarts and Machado and Tatis, they probably feel they could cover some of the bat. They are just hungry for arms, and the Yankees have done a great job both in the draft and internationally and then in development of creating at least the image in the sport that they have a lot of it.
Right. I mean, last year they've recognized or admitted that it was a disaster. But meanwhile, Brito, Vasquez, they came up and looked pretty good. And King looked good at the end of the year. So they have young, controllable starters to trade. You know, they could be ranked in the lower echelon in terms of prospects. But in terms of pitchers ready to go at the major league level, they're better than almost anybody. So it does feel like there's a match to be made. We haven't really heard of other teams. San Diego people are saying there are five teams. You know, there are a lot of reporters here. You think some of this would come out if there was anything serious going on with these teams. You never know. Of course, something could be kind of secret, whatever. We know things would get to be secret, certainly around Ohtani, that they are. But right now it feels like it's the Yankees' game to win, and they should do what it takes at this point. I know that's the opposite of what I said 2 weeks ago when I said go for Bellinger in center field. You know what? I think right now it looks like they're going to play Judge in center field. I don't know what you think of that, but I think he's a pretty good center fielder. I think their concern is the injury risk, though.
Yeah, I think that it's best to protect your most important asset, which is Judge. And I think one of the ways you protect him is to play him half his games in the small right field at Yankee Stadium. I think that's probably out if they get Soto, because even if Verdugo weren't acquired, Judge would have to go to left field. So Soto is as good a young hitter as there is in about the history of the game, but he's not a good defender. He'd probably have to go to right field at Yankee Stadium, at least, to protect it. Judge is such a much better defender than him. You know, John, I will say this, and I wonder what you think. This is not our first rodeo, unfortunately. I think people could see the gray in both of our hair if they're watching us on YouTube or on the Yes app. But this has felt very old Yankee here, where inevitable is too strong a word, but they've been so open about how much they want Soto and Yamamoto. And when they used to do that for these kind of players, at the end of the process, they had the player. And they strongly want to change the subject from the disaster you spoke about last year to that we're still a powerhouse organization. I wonder what you think about that writ large, that they're swinging it a little bit.
You know, the fact that Cashman and Boone said such great things about Soto yesterday, it makes me think, and again, I'm just reading tea leaves, that maybe they're very optimistic and maybe this is further down the road than we know about, right? I mean, because it's kind of unusual to build up a guy that you're trying to trade for. I just found that a little interesting, and you never know, but it feels like they have an excellent chance here. And look, the Yankees are addressing their need. They hit .227 last year. That was better than Oakland and nobody else. I mean, Oakland's not even a major league team. So they were basically last in batting average. I know people don't all look batting average now. It's understandable why they didn't want Grisham in the trade, why they're taking Verdugo, hit .264. No, I'm an old school, right? We're talking batting average, but they can't add another guy who hit .198 last year like Grisham did. I mean, they have a collection of sub-200 hitters on that team. So, you know, we've criticized them and commented on their low batting average and their lack of offense last year, and they are going out and addressing it now. So, to their credit, you know, nobody else is doing a lot here. If they end up with Soto and nobody else does anything, you know, I guess we'll find something to criticize, but I think the fans should be pretty happy with that.
You know, John, I think you're right. On Grisham to me feels like Joey Gallo light, low batting average, tons of strikeouts. And, you know, the word out of the two places the guy has played is he's a little bit of an edgy player. uptight. And that is not, again, that's Joey Gallo light. You just don't want that kind of player in New York.
Well, you know what? You hear that, but he dominated the Mets in the playoffs. He was the star player, right? So, everybody's got their opinions. We shall see. Obviously, he made that mistake for Milwaukee, right? Ball bounced away from him. I don't know. I'm not going to kill him over that. He was really good against the Mets. But he's a 198 hitter. Lifetime, he's under 220. Yankees just can't keep adding guys who are going to make outs, four out of five times. They need some guys who put the bat on the ball.
Yeah, I think that what Soto and Verdugo give them not only is a little more batting average, obviously, and in Soto's case, just tremendous on-base percentage and power, but both guys are like guys who strike out 15 to 18% of the time. The Yankees also wanted to be a team that gets the ball and play more. Let's just do it quickly because Verdugo is not an uninteresting player only in comparison to Soto. This was a player they had been trying to get as recently as the trade deadline. They get him now. This is a guy Alex Cora had to pull from a couple of games for questions about hustle. He's right in his prime. He's a year from free agency. His lefty swing might be more tailored for Yankee Stadium than Fenway Park. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's not a great sign that the Red Sox are trading him to the Yankees for prospects, right? They didn't even get a position player back. There'd been a rumor of Gleyber Torres, and of course, that wouldn't work for the Yankees. They need guys who can hit, and Gleyber can't hit. So, I just think that's a bad sign. I would watch out for it. I do look forward to seeing him in the clubhouse. He has a great quote. He's an interesting character. He's obviously had some mistakes in his background. I'm sure that people will go over those, but... obviously, if you've been pulled from the game a couple times by Alex Cora, it's not a great sign. And obviously, if Boston's trading him to the Yankees, that's another bad sign. So I've got concerns, certainly, in terms of the makeup there.
Yeah, when I talk to people at the meetings, John, about the prospects the Yankees gave up for him, nobody seemed to think it felt the point that they said was, it's not a salary dump because the Red Sox don't really have to get out of nine-ish million dollars, and they're not getting big prospects back. Though I heard the Red Sox really liked the guy Richard Fitz in this. It was a guy who they've been talking about a while. So this and it wasn't like there's big outfielders left in Boston. So maybe they're pursuing somebody else. This felt like Boston kind of wanted this guy out of town a little bit. Let's talk
absolutely. Lourdes Gurriel. I think they're looking at Lourdes Gurriel. They're going to have to get an outfielder at this point, I think,
or two. John, why don't we close this by talking about the biggest player still out there, the biggest player in the world, maybe the biggest player of all time, and that's Shohei Ohtani. And I'll set it up this way by saying only in baseball can a top official say we met with a guy who everyone knows they met with. We have him as our number one priority for a guy everyone knows is their number one priority. And then praise the guy's makeup that he'll be able to come back from a second Tommy John surgery and pitch well. And that somehow turns into a furor of a story. Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, did that on Tuesday at the winter meetings. And people began to ask questions about, because the Ohtani camp wants this all kept silent, if that's actually going to hurt the Dodgers. I think you and I are in the same boat. I don't think it's going to hurt the Dodgers. And if it did, that says a hell of a lot more about Ohtani than Dave Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, no chance that hurts the Dodgers. You have Dave Roberts there. You're in a meeting with Dave Roberts. You're going to be impressed. I mean, he is a terrific manager, a terrific individual. He's not going to sit there on the stage and lie about what went on. We all knew that they were pursuing Ohtani for a year. I mean, it's a little ridiculous what's going on here, that nobody else is willing to say anything, including the other Dodger officials, after Dave Roberts had even said it. To me, it's crazy. I understand that the agent has a lot of power at this point because the player is, as you said, maybe the best player of all time. But, I mean, it's a little ridiculous that it's a negative that he says he's our number one priority and we think he's fantastic and he's going to pitch again and all these great and positive things. For that to be a negative, that's just nuts.
Yeah, it feels wrong about our sport. It just feels like a free agency for – he's our LeBron James. He's our Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. And this has turned into joyless paranoia instead of something fun. All they had to do, the Ohtani camp, is do exactly what they did last time. Here's the seven finalists. That would have carried like the day for a while. We are at the winter meetings. If the fans might not have an image of this, John, we both have done more than 30 of these. This is the giant convention of our game. Everybody's here, thousands of people. I mean, all the trainers meet, all the PR people meet, all the traveling secretaries. I'm just minor leagues, major leagues. This is, you know, and obviously MLB Network is here. We're trying to drum up interest in the sport besides everything else. And this is Shohei Ohtani. And we've decided, let's try to make this as joyless and paranoid as possible.
Well, I mean, I got to say, the agent's only obligation is to the player. So if that's what the player wants, you know, it's unfortunate. It's not good. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not a professional negotiator. Somehow they think this is a positive, I guess, that nobody knows anything rather than we know what we already knew. I mean, did we think the Dodgers had dropped out or they're not interested? I mean, who thought that? Nobody. I mean, I think it's silly. It's not going to hurt the Dodgers in any way. I think they're one of the two favorites right now, at least along with the Jays. I have not heard that the Cubs are out, that the Giants are out, or that the Angels, his incumbent team, is out. So it feels like it's those five teams. And I did hear from a clubhouse source, as I wrote in the post, that during the season, Ohtani said he could see himself and he'd be happy in Toronto or with the Dodgers. And so that looks like the two teams right now. I didn't hear about other teams except for New York, where Ohtani said what he had told the Yankees 6 years ago, that he couldn't see himself in New York. So if there are fans out there that are upset that the Yankees and Mets aren't getting Ohtani, it's probably misplaced because he wasn't coming no matter what. And for the Mets, it was going to be 110% Steve Cohen tax on top of the $60 million a year, whatever he's going to get. So it would have been $126 million a year for one player. Who is it out? It's great for marketing, but he's not a publicity seeker. It's a funny, it's almost like an oxymoron. It's the opposite. But, the decision, I think, was better, and that was criticized. So even if you did it publicly and had fun with it, you're going to get criticized. But would have been a lot better for this sport because, really, the winter meetings is better when there's a lot going on, as there was last year. This isn't the driest, the worst winter meetings, whatever you want to call it, ever. Remember the one in Las Vegas where only Carlos Santana was traded? That was the only thing. So
that was, 2018 or something like that, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. But we have today, and Soto is a hot story at the moment. Obviously, we know Eduardo Rodriguez was meeting with teams yesterday. Stuff's going to happen. So it's not going to be the worst winter meetings ever. I know people are disappointed if Ohtani doesn't sign today. But, hey, maybe he will because, I mean, we know that he's visited all these teams, basically, and possibly has a decision today. I don't think it's likely, but can't rule it out. But it's not the worst winter meetings ever. But I don't know whether they need to move the winter meetings back or what. But you can't really set a deadline for when a deal has to be done because that's a negative to the agent and the player. I'm sure that MLB might like that, but I don't think the union would go for that.
Yeah, John, I just to be clear, because you mentioned it, it's like obviously Ohtani and his representatives have the right to do a negotiation however they'd like to do a negotiation. So, John, we are kind of closing up yet another winter meetings for us. Before you and I go, I've probably changed the meaning of this podcast throughout by finding out a lot more news. Any final thoughts?
Well, my final thoughts are about Soto at this point because, I mean, Yankee fans, they're not that thrilled with Verdugo. I do think there is an impetus now to try and go get Soto. I don't know that it's imminent at this point, so maybe the podcast will last at least a few hours or a day. I'm not sure, but, the fans will need to calm down. If they get one Soto, they should be happy, at least for a moment. They need to celebrate because the combination of Soto and Judge is an all-time great 1-2 combination for a lineup. And this is a lineup that really failed last year overall. Obviously, Judge was very good for all the months that he did play, but this is a lineup that needed something. I'm glad they're addressing it. And so I feel good about what's going on with the Yankees. We'll feel better if they get this done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So I'll put pressure on two people we thank every week, which is Andrew Hartz and Jake Brown. Guys, you got to get this up quick, right? So that people hear this and get everything. John, my final thought is the Yankees are acting like the Yankees at the winter meetings. They're going for big guys. They're doing it with confidence, which, if anything, puts a lot more pressure on them to actually cash it in. We'll see if they cash it in. I'm sure if you keep reading the New York Post, John and I will be writing about it, nypost.com. We'll do it on our podcast. John and I will jump on MLB Network and do it. I do want to thank again. We're up early today. Andrew and Jake, they help us so much get the show out. This is, of course, a podcast from the New York Post. Don't forget, this will drop on the Yes app. It will totally be outdated by then. Hopefully not, John. Crossing fingers. Wednesday about noon. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to our podcast. And John, probably the next time we get together, there'll be a whole lot of players on a whole lot of different teams if you stick with us on the show with Joel Sherman and John Hickman.